This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Okay, that cornhole story, Michael, the quadruple amputee cornhole player. Update on that story. Professional cornhole player who's also quadruple amputee waived his right to an extension to an extradition hearing on Thursday as authorities seek to move him from Virginia to Maryland, where he faces charges of fatally shooting a passenger in the front seat of a car that he was driving during an argument. The story just is very odd. He is currently in police custody. He took part in a court hearing in Charlottesville, Virginia, through a video call. His attorney, Alexander Goodman, declined to comment. It's unclear when Weber will return to Maryland. So there's just an update there. What a weird story. I mean, when he was 20, he's 27 years old, but years ago, that was a long time ago, almost 20 years ago, he was featured by ESPN in a story of inspiration, noting that he rode dirt bikes, wrestled, and played football before becoming a professional cornhole player in the same year. So what once was an inspirational story is now turning into something very dark, very odd. We'll see how it goes. All right, so we were talking about Dan Orlovsky really pumping up Ty Simpson. Well, Ty Simpson's he's not really saying he thinks he's a first overall draft pick guy. He's just fighting for first round, saying that he's definitely a first round pick. Why not? I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to sling it. I definitely believe I've done everything I can to be a first rounder. So, but according to Dan Orlovsky, he's better. He's the best quarterback in the draft. So we'll see. I don't even know if he's going to get taken in the first round. Tom Brady said he asked NFL about a possible comeback. He owns a portion of the Raiders, Mike. It's not going to fly. I am at the point now where I'm like, Tommy Bones, just kind of go away, you know, on this. He said he explored the possibility of coming out of retirement and returning to the NFL, adding that the league did not like that idea very much. He said, I actually have inquired, and they don't like the idea. So I'm going to leave it at that. We explored a lot of different things, and I'm very happily retired. Let me just say that, too. He'll be 49 in August. He'd have to come back to the Raiders, though, wouldn't he, Mike? He couldn't go play for another team.
There's no way. There's no way that would be allowed.
Would it be allowed for him to come back and play for the Raiders?
I mean, maybe. You'd have like a major league situation.
According to ESPN, he would have to divest his ownership stake in the Raiders if he were to pursue a comeback, which is fair. You can't be a part owner. And wasn't it Caleb Williams that was wanting, you know, before he got drafted, it was alleged that he was asking about partial ownership before even being drafted. I don't know if that actually was true. Faith would know more on that than I do, as being a Bears fan. But no, you can't be a part owner of a team and then play in the NFL.
If I was drafted by the Broncos, I would want ownership post my career.
Oh, you're making demands. So not only in this scenario, you're getting drafted by the Broncos, But no, you're also, I would be, I would, you're also a post owner too. Man, you are a hot commodity.
Well, I would be so talented that everybody would want to draft me first overall, but I would say I will only play in the league if I am drafted by the Broncos in the seventh round or not drafted at all. I want to be an unrestricted free agent or a free agent signing, an undrafted free agent. There we go.
Well, this
I want
is
to
a
be
weird
an undrafted
fantasy.
Free agent signing by the Broncos, and that's the only way I'll play.
Okay. Nice to know that you have demands because you are this great. What fantasy world? How often do you think about this and dream about this at night?
Just now.
If you were picked to go overall, number one overall, and it wasn't the Broncos, you would decline to play in the NFL?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind. Are you being serious right now?
I don't want to go to another team.
You wouldn't go to, if you were a number one overall pick, first one, and you get money, a lot of money, to go play football, to play a kid's game, you would decline. You would just simply say, nope, I'm going to go back into the booth and be a radio producer.
That or I would coach. And be like, I'm going to go back and help
You're
the University
wrong.
Of Washington win another national championship.
You would get drafted. You would play for that organization, and you would pour your heart and soul into that organization.
No.
Millions of dollars, Mike. Millions of dollars to go play football. I don't believe
I'm not
you.
Like everybody else. I do love money.
That's true. You are not like everybody else.
I'm very principled.
Draymond Green had an issue with what Victor Wembanyama said about, you know, in his case, Wemby's case for him to be MVP. He said, I loved it and also hated it at the same time. Why did he love it? He said, hey, a guy sticking up for himself, publicly advocating that he should be the MVP. But he didn't like the national response to what Wemby said about defense, basically saying, you know, defense is 50% of the game. Wemby said defense is 50% of the game, and that's part of why he should be MVP. For Draymond Green, he said it made it sound like he was putting emphasis on the fact that that defense was not 50% of the game. Draymond said, quote, Wemby said defense is 50% of the game. And it was like, oh, no one realized that? No one realized that 50% of the game we play is on that end of the floor? So he actually took it as you're putting light on it. And people like you, Michael, that say there's no defense in the NBA, all this did was kind of fan those flames. Well, he's not wrong. I mean, when you have somebody say, well, I should be MVP because defense is 50% of it. It is 50% of the game. It's not 50% of the MVP voting.
Allegedly.
It's about scoring. The game is about scoring buckets, man. That's what it's about. Defense is part of it, but you got to score. So the defensive player of the year is, unless he's leading the league in scoring, is typically not going to be the MVP. Just the way it goes. Green said, everybody says he has a great point. Hello, you think? I hated that he had to do that for it to be said. All of a sudden, you turn on the TV and everybody's like, actually, maybe Wemby is the MVP. He might be. He's definitely going to win a bunch of them. I wouldn't be shocked if he passes up that three mark that Joker's sitting at relatively quickly in his career. If he doesn't win it this year, I don't think he's going to. He's probably going to win it next year. I think even Joker said he's glad that his career is kind of at the downward slope so he doesn't have to deal with Wemby's presence in the NBA for long. And that's kind of a scary thought because I assume Joker might be able to go another 5-6 years playing at this level. But him saying he doesn't want to have to do... Wemby's going to take over the league now. I mean, if he doesn't win MVP this year, Mike, Wemby's in the position to start taking over the NBA next year. And he could do that this year. The Spurs could very well win a championship this year, and this could become... He would become the new face of the NBA, which that would not be ideal for American players because it would be just yet another player that's not an American that would be the best player in the league.
Well, maybe Americans should stop shooting threes all the time and start working on fundamentals.
Shea's doing it. I mean, he's pretty damn good, Mike. Aaron texting in, when the final score of an NBA game is 135-127, Do you consider that an elite offensive night or a bad defensive night? Both. I think it's both. And Michael, this is where I get so mad at you. Like, I watch a lot of NBA basketball. They play defense. Offenses are just better. In college, you get guys out of position a lot. And what do you see? You work the ball around until you get that wide open shot. And college players take wide open shots. They don't typically take contested shots. In the NBA, they take contested shots. There's not a lot. I mean, yes, there's miscommunication on defense, and it happens, but it's just not as consistent as you think it is. Like, there is a body in front of the scorer with a hand in the face. The guy is just better. I see Shea go up for crazy shots all the time, and he's got a hand right in his face. How many fadeaways does Luka make? The game-winning shot he hit against the Nuggets the other night. You could argue it was bad rotation. They didn't double him. They probably should have fouled him. But to say that there was no defense being played on Luka in that moment is ridiculous, because Spencer Jones was on him so much that the only way Luka could make that shot, Michael, is to fade away, to almost be parallel with the floor and make that shot. You tell me that's bad defense. That's great defense. If you have to force a player to take a fadeaway shot, that's great defense. That's just better offense. So, are you with me now? Greatest defense you've ever seen in the NBA?
I hear you. They play defense sometimes.
When they say
there's no defense, it's an exaggeration. They play defense.
Look at you go.
5.3% of the time.
No, they play it a lot more. Faith says sometimes you got to advocate for yourself. Wimby should be in the discussion. It is kind of like once he advocated for himself, he became a bigger focal point of the MVP conversation. Is that not right? MVP award sometimes does involve some politics. And I think that was people knocked that about Joker, that he never advocated for MVP. He doesn't care. And I know on ESPN they said, I'm so tired of guys acting like they don't care about the MVP and they'd rather go play with their horses. Well, you can be tired of it all you want. That truly is how Joker feels. He does not care. 17 minutes after the hour, the Kevin Lytle is going to join us from the Colorado one here in just a moment. Who's coming back for Colorado State? What does he know, and when did he know it? Also on Colorado State football. We'll get into that with Kevin coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Jokic, McCarr, Murray. Hear the postseason legends and their quest for another title on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
After the hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios, and joining me now on the First Advantage text line, hotline, Kevin Lytle, the Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our Colorado State Rams insider. Kevin, where do you want to go first, man? You want to go football, or do you want to go basketball? Because I got a lot of questions on both sides.
Yeah, let's wrap basketball first.
All right, man. Great conversation with Ali Farokmanesh yesterday.
Yeah.
And I had texted you before my chat with Coach because I wanted to know a little bit more about Josh Pascarelli, because in this day and age of college sports, when a guy, you know, played in the game before and then doesn't play in your NIT game, you start to wonder. And I think your tweet, you just said, hey, he's not out there, he's not suiting up, so apparently he's not playing. I think we can wonder, okay, is it that injury that's creeping up for Josh, or is there something more? Is perhaps his time done as a Ram? And Ali was kind of shocked at the question, kind of like, wow, I didn't even think of it that way. No, Josh is not that guy. He wouldn't play it like that. What are your thoughts when it comes to Josh Pascarelli?
Yeah, I think we could see in the Mountain West tournament he was not himself yet. You know, there wasn't any explosiveness, really. Yeah, it's kind of weird to, you know, play and then not play, but I think it's one of those, like, you know, Mountain West tournament obviously is, you know, kind of
the make or break, try and get to the big tournament and stuff like that. And then if you're not healthy, it makes some sense. Just shut down if needed. He's going to be an interesting case, though. I obviously fully, believe and agree with what Ali said of, like, from everything I know, Josh Pasquarelli is not the guy who would just say, nah, I don't want to.
Yeah.
But that also doesn't 100% mean he's coming back either. I'm really intrigued to see, I kind of tie him and Brandon Recksteiner together in some ways of, I'm not sure both will be back. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Again, not as a negative to either player, just when you're looking at roster building, that might be two players for one spot.
Kevin, let's do this. I'm gonna name the players on this roster, at least the guys that have been obviously playing this season. And you give me a percentage chance in your mind that they're coming back. How about that?
Perfect.
Okay, let's just start. I'll just look at their depth chart. Let's just go from the top. KJ, Kyle Jorgensen.
He's probably not a shock here, but the biggest off-season question mark. I'll go, 60% somewhere, lean toward a return, but he certainly has a big decision make, and I'm sure has been tampered with one way or another.
And he was probably tampered with a little bit last year, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, probably, but especially with, obviously he was a little up and down after the injury. I'm sure the injury probably played a role in that, but his potential is obviously sky high. His decision is probably the linchpin that makes the biggest impact on the offseason plans.
All right. So, but you're saying around a 60% chance. That's how you feel about KJ at this point of coming back. Kerry Booth.
High 90s. Basically certain other than your normal transfer portal era wiggle room.
Well, and he certainly became a better player. So shocking under Ali Faropanish.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think, there's still stuff to iron out, but man, he turned into a really good player for CSU this year.
I was kind of stunned. I didn't know what to expect from the guy, but he especially after early in the season, but definitely got better. Jace Butler, who really came on strong in that last month or so for this team. How about him?
Yeah, somewhat similar. I'm sure there's probably some lurking going on, but I feel quite confident, pretty confident that he's going to be back.
So
probably in the 90s as well.
90s there, okay. I had to ask about Muniz yesterday because of all the rumors around college sports that he might get, could a guy potentially get a fifth year. But all honesty, even Ali kind of at the end of it was like, yeah, I'm not counting on it, but who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And, there was some hope at one point this time a year ago that Jalen Lake could have that option.
Yeah,
if the fifth is offered. And, they held a scholarship, kind of like they'll do for Muniz. They held a scholarship for Lake. For if that happened, but yeah, obviously Ali knows a lot more than me, but my feeling there is the same of they would love to, but it just feels unlikely that that will get cleared for him in time for him.
Like a 1% chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Not Scott Steiner, but Brandon Recksteiner. Mm-hmm. I want to see this dude back, not just because of his basketball, but because I want the chance to maybe eventually meet Big Papa Pump. Where are you putting his percentage chance of coming back? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of look at him and Pasquarelli as somewhat tied together. Not that they're making the decision together, but, I'm not sure you can run it back with Brandon as your true point guard. Maybe point guard at times, but I'm not sure you're number one. I don't know a number. I won't be surprised if he goes, but I also won't be surprised. I guess I'm saying kind of a 50-50 because neither will surprise me with him.
So 50-50 there, and that's, I think, is that your lowest one so far? Because you said Kyle's at 60.
Kyle maybe like 60.
Okay. Let's keep going here. How about Augie Kadulis?
Yeah, he's another. I really don't, I don't know Augie very well, of the rotation guys. I maybe just, the way it goes, didn't talk to him as much this year. Don't seem to have as good a beat on him. So I can't even put a number on it because it's, both sides of one, did CSU, feel they got enough? Because he was kind of up and down. There were times, frankly, it seemed like he was sort of overwhelmed by the, athleticism of this level. But there are other times he was, really cunning and clever and did those smart things. But then his side, does he feel he played enough minutes? So that's another, kind of just because of lack of my own certainty. Maybe I just put in the toss-up category with Brandon there.
How about Rashawn Bemba? Guy's obviously dealt with some injuries, and it seems like this coaching staff kind of found the right combination of bringing him off the bench. And you always wonder, a guy goes from a starter to coming off the bench, which, again, he was still a very important player for this team. Where do you sit with him?
Yeah, I think he'll be back. I'd put him in kind of where I had, you know, Jason and Carey there of guys I pretty much fully expect to be back.
Okay, JoJo McIver obviously didn't play a ton in his freshman year, but there's a lot of potential that shows up in some of these games.
Yep, definitely. He's a guy that they really love as a staff, and we saw at times it was obviously some of the freshman inconsistency, but I like his potential as well. I'm pretty sure he's coming back. So maybe just because, again, I don't know him as well as some of those others, maybe I'll put in the 80s somewhere, but I think he'll be back.
Okay, and then final guy, you know, really within the rotation, got some moments, I suppose, but that's Darnez A.C. Slater. I think he could be a good player.
Yeah, I wrote this in my kind of, you know, end of season analysis of he's a player. There's a player in there for sure. It's just, is it at CSU or is it elsewhere? Again, not certain. You know, some will be, how do they view the point guard position? Do they think they can run it with young guys in, you know, JoJo and Slater and Pop Stunson who's coming in, or do they try and go get a more veteran? So some of that, I think, will be CSU decision, too, of, like, where are we going with this thing? So he's another. I guess maybe I'd put him in more likely to go than not, just because he's been here 2 years and didn't play a ton of minutes. But there is a player in there, so it's a little uncertain.
How about, okay, guy we didn't see, John McConan. How are we feeling about him?
I would imagine he's probably going to go try and find minutes elsewhere, because, you know, he's only a redshirt freshman, so it's not like your career's over. But, you know, it looks like he's not really going to be fitting in or part of the rotation plan. So I would imagine he'll probably pursue minutes elsewhere.
How about, hey, my guy that just disappeared, Nicola Joppa?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I believe he has 1 year left. I think it's just one. But yeah, I believe he didn't play at all in February and March, except for two kind of garbage time minutes after in a blowout win. So yeah, I would have to think he'll head up elsewhere. He just, wasn't able to provide some of the things CSU needed. And, you know, I would think a veteran guy would probably pursue some minutes elsewhere.
And then Charlie Dorch and Docker. What's his last name?
Tedeschi. Docker, everything I've been told, is back. So he'll be in kind of the position like Slater and McConan were this year. If you've redshirted this season and next year you try and break into the rotation, the kid is a bucket. You know, needs to add some of the college heft and weight and everything, but man, he can shoot it, so it'll be interesting to see what he does. And then Dortch, the Fort Collins kid, sorry, your walk-on victory cigar that everyone loves. I don't know for sure, but as long as he's happy in that role, I would presume he would be back.
Okay, so you're feeling pretty optimistic about the majority.
You know, assuming Muniz is gone, which I think it's probably just best to assume that until we learn otherwise, you have eight guys from the rotation that could come back. I think, you know, if you keep six, you're feeling quite good. Five would be pretty good. Anything less, it's like, this is a bit more of a rebuild than you wanted. Anything more, you're probably feeling really nice. I'm guessing CSU keeps about six of those eight.
Six of those, that's not bad. That's not bad. And then, you know, with the prospects, the new guys coming in, do you see, is it Fiedler, Kevin? Is it Fiedler?
Fiedler. But yeah, he's Colorado's 6A player of the year. Does a lot well. It'll be interesting to see if he can crack the rotation. Pop Stunson won a state title in Georgia this year. I think he was All-State in Georgia. I've heard really good things about him that, you know, he may be game ready, you know, day one. And you never know. Like, let's be honest, you never know until they get here in the summer and go through some of the, you know, challenges of college practices. And then Jaden Goreschi, I'm going to have to check that pronunciation, but he's big 6'8", power forward, you know, kind of a type that CSU hasn't been able to land in the past. I know he missed part of the season with some health stuff, but he's another guy, big time potential. So do any of them crack the rotation? Impossible to say right now, but it's definitely a class that they're very excited about.
Kevin Lytle joining us, CSU Rams insider, texter here from the third best tailgater here. Do we expect there will be any changes among the assistant coaches under Ali Faropmanesh?
Yeah, that's what I've been wondering as well. I feel like Tim Shelton is probably most likely. He's a kind of younger, definitely well regarded in the industry. So he, I wonder about him, but I know he loves Ali Faropmanesh and his potential as a head coach. Pilipovic came, to be with Faropmanesh. I don't think he's going anywhere. Foster pretty publicly said he came just to help Faropmanesh. I think he's staying. So I would say there's a pretty good chance that's pretty strong stability in that group for CSU, which would be really nice for Ali to have going into year two. I think that would help a lot.
You don't think Ken DeWeese is going to go say, hey,
I didn't mean to forget Ken. Love Ken. Except for he's an Arsenal fan. Micah wanted to make sure I mentioned soccer on this. But Ken being Arsenal fan is a bit of a pretty big red flag there, but otherwise a really good guy. But yeah, he has strong ties in this region. I feel like he probably wants to stay without putting words in his mouth.
Well, I mean, I was just wondering though, does he try to go to CU? Does he try to go to Air Force to kind of complete, because he was with Wyoming, the Bears, and
yeah, he's man. He knows everyone around here. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's plugged in for sure. All right, so that puts a wrap on the hoop side. What a season it was, though. First year for Ali Faropmanesh. I think, you graded out, man. I mean, to be first, not just first time with CSU, but first year to win 20-plus games with a ton of new guys. Pretty miraculous what he ultimately ended up doing.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries were huge. Crazy amount of injuries. Like you say, 8 new players, the new coaching staff. There was a lot going against them, through the season. And to come out, with that February and early March, pretty good. Obviously, like I said with Tanner, I can't give an A because, they've said themselves the goal is, titles and tournaments, and they didn't do that. But overall, I mean, there's certainly nothing that's deterred my belief that Ali can be a very, very good head coach.
Kevin, how about on the football side, man? I know now that basketball's done, you've had some opportunities to get out there and look at this team into spring ball. It's a very interesting schedule to start spring ball, then have a spring break, and then get right back to it. But what's kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, a few things. I mean, they practice long. Jim Mora told me that when we practice hard and long, and that has proven true. I think overall size, you have big guys. I mean, the tight ends are big. I was watching the kind of whatever you want to call them, defensive end, hybrid linebacker, pass rush guys today. And, last year, a guy like Kenyon Eggers kind of stood out for his size, and he's kind of just one of several that kind of look like that now. So there's that. I like their kicker, which I know isn't the sexiest thing, but it was a problem last year and looks like it should be pretty good this year. And then obviously quarterbacks are always a, top of the conversation, and they've got a very intriguing room. I know Hosseini is, probably the biggest name, but Kasan Farrar has looked good. I think those two are genuinely competing for the job. Had a chance to speak to Haas the other day. It was an enjoyable interview, and man, I think he's the most athletic CSU quarterback I have seen. He is very fast.
Oh, I'm loving that too. That's what I'm hearing is like all these quarterbacks are pretty much speedster guys.
Yeah, good athletes across the board. Kasan is bigger than I realized, but moves really well. Throws a nice ball. I say, Haas is undersized, but, as far as, we're used to, Jay Norvell kind of pre-publicly said, I want those big, tall, strong quarterbacks who stand in the pocket. That's not Haas, but, the ball comes out. It snaps out of his hand. He's, I don't know how it's going to go, but you can see the potential, that's for sure.
Kevin, what else, man? I mean, is that pretty much, it's hard to get a lot of standouts at this point.
We're still pretty early. I think today was the 5th practice, so it's still pretty early. And like you said, there was a spring break. So it's, I cannot tell you how good this team is going to be. It's just too early to say that. I can see the pieces and some of the plan and how it's coming together. I like I think there's a good stable of running backs. I think they're going to be able to move the ball, you know, with the running game. But, you know, things like how good is the O-line? How good's the D-line? How good are they in the trenches? You just don't know that yet. But, yeah, it's really fascinating to see it come together. And, you know, frankly, a lot of my time out there is trying to learn the roster because there's about 70 new guys.
I know. It's crazy. How intense is it? When I was out there, Kevin, I think it was like the second or third. Let's just say he would not be able to talk on this show the way he talks out there, Jim Mora, when he's when he's coaching his football players.
Yeah, clips along. I feel like now that, you know, like I say, we're in the second week of practices, everyone kind of knows where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing. I feel like some of that angriness from staff has changed, and now it's just intense. But it clips along fast. Like, there's always stuff going on, and like I say, it's intense for sure. Like, they, you know, like I said, Jim Mora said directly to me of when we practice hard. He said spring, I forget what he says, something along the lines of spring is going to be brutal for them. And you can see that. It's a very intense, you know, session, season, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I'll be interested. I'm going to try to get out there sometime, hopefully very soon. Kevin, always appreciate your work and your insight, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Quarterbacks are going to be fast. That's what you need to know. The quarterbacks are going to be fast, and it sounds like Haas Haney's probably going to be the dude. I mean, you just keep hearing more and more. He's always made available for media, and you always just kind of you put two and two together, but it sounds like he's going to be the dude. 40 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevrolet. Oh, I almost did it, Mike. I almost did it. Mosquito Joe, my goodness. Big City Roadhouse. Michael, I was going to bring you out there. I was going to buy you something out there last week, but you didn't make it.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling well.
Yeah, you weren't feeling up to it for the big race. You didn't get a chance to see it in person.
And I didn't get a chance to see it on video. Did it post it anywhere?
Yes, I told you that already. It's all over the socials.
Oh, yeah, and I think I don't want to get on the socials.
Well, where else would it be posted? Like, is it posted anywhere?
On the 1310kfka.coms, which is a great place for you to get your podcast.
Yes, it is a great place, but it's not necessarily where we're posting videos that we record on our phone that we post on X or Facebook. You have a Facebook account. I know you do. And you're logged in on it.
I don't want to get on it.
You're in it. It's not like X where you don't know your password and you can't get back on. You actually have your Facebook, and I know that. So go watch it. I can show you the video at some point. Somebody like dubbed over the race with, I think, Chariots of Fire music. So it's actually pretty cool.
I do like. I forget how his name is pronounced. He's a Greek composer.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Vangelis?
It doesn't matter. I was just saying I like
Chariots
the song. The song that was underneath it, that was cool. I don't need like his background or his history. I just said it was a cool song. Don't need to go into it. But what you do need to go into is Big City Roadhouse. Stop by right now. Perfect time to go grab some pizza, tavern-style pizza, wings, steak, burritos. The burrito. Man, I did the steak burrito. And you can get it smothered in green chili if you want to. It is amazing. With or without, because I've had both now, with or without the green chili. I had to have my own because you stole ours last time.
I did. But I announced it. I said, hey, guys, I'm going to have this.
Right. That's
never
great.
Never had Big City burritos.
But the idea was that we were all like taking portions of what they were bringing in. So we were going to try everything. And you just flat out grabbed the burrito and walked
said,
away.
Guys, I'm going to take the burrito.
Right. But we were going to cut it.
And now keep in mind, I did not have any of the others.
Well, it doesn't matter. We all wanted to try everything so we could talk about
you
it.
You guys have
point.
All been to Big City Burrito before.
Big City Roadhouse. Oh, Big
You've
City
been
Burrito.
To Big City Burrito.
Yes, I have.
I've never been to Big City Burrito.
Well, you still could have tasted it.
I tried that burrito.
I don't think Tanner had. Tanner's never been there. So he wanted to try some of it, but it was too late. You stole it.
Yeah, but he's Tanner.
He doesn't get to eat? Yeah, he lost in a race, but he should be able to eat, man. I know he's very, like, he's walking around with the crown of shame all the time, as he should be. He did lose the race, and significantly. I mean, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even a close race.
You shouldn't have been wearing those cowboy boots.
No, he was dressed ready to race.
Dressed to the nines and running?
And running. He was ready to go. He looked like the runner of the crew.
Was he wearing like running shoes and running shorts?
Yes. Yeah.
Was he all track starred out?
He was. Didn't matter. I just ran my race. Locked in and ran my race.
Did you guys trash talk before? Did you get up and, you know, you have that boxer stance where you're like, I'm going to get you and I'm going to punch you?
No, I think we were both a little more, reserved. Not as trash talky as we normally are.
Okay, so you guys you got up there and you, high-fived each other and you're like, good luck, buddy.
No, didn't do any of that either. No. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Just absolutely smoked him, though. Just.
Got some mean looks at each other.
Yeah. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by the one and only Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
That was quick, Mike. Brock Wisney, you already got him to say former UNC Bears basketball player. That's kind of depressing. It's kind of sad.
But it's kind of sad. He's a decent human being.
What are you eating now? What are you chewing? It's better than the donut. No, stop. No. People will turn off the radio. Don't do that. We don't want to encourage people to do that. Stop smacking into the microphone. I don't know why I bring it up. Shouldn't have asked. That's on me. I should know better by now. All right, final hour of the show. Whole show pressure cooker coming up. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.